And welcome to the End Time Prophecy Watch program. We'll be discussing this program, False Prophets Prophesy Lies for Money. Now, we look at the scripture in Matthew chapter 24, verses 10 through 12. Jesus states this warning. He states that many false prophets shall arise, deceiving many. When we read the verse of scripture in Matthew 24, verses 10 through 12, Jesus states, "And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another, and many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold." Now, Matthew chapter 24 is very interesting because this is Jesus. He's taking the disciples up to Mount Olivet, and this is called the Olivet Discourse, where he's giving several different prophecies that he's talking about. He mentions wars and rumors of wars. He mentions nations rising up against nations. He talks about a high level of earthquakes would begin to increase towards the latter times. He mentions famines. He mentions all type of things within Matthew chapter 24. But one of the things that he really heavily emphasizes in Matthew chapter 24, he warns at least four times about deception. When we look at Matthew chapter 24, verse 4, he warns about deception. He says, "And Jesus answered, said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you." Verse 5, he states, "For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many." Verse 11, he says, "And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many." Verse 24 of Matthew chapter 24, he says, "For there shall arise false Christs, false prophets, and shall show great sign and wonders, insomuch that if were possible, they should deceive the very elect." So we live in a day and time where people that are in the church, especially here in America, they're overtaken by the glitz and glamour. They're overtaken by the signs and wonder, and they're not really grounded in sound biblical scriptures. So you see where people are fascinated by some of these false prophets that can call out your mama's maiden name or your grandma's name. They can call out bank account numbers. They can call out the street address where you live and tell you certain things. And we call that prophecy. But a lot of that stuff, folks, is clairvoyance and divination that's taking place, especially when you have these quote unquote so-called prophets or prophetess where they're very much self-absorbed within themselves. They use manipulation, they use the emotional part about it and other things and all to dupe and manipulate people into giving them money and having, you know, very selfish ambition. And it's not about the kingdom of God, it's about building their own kingdom, building their own following. And unfortunately, folks in church, they become church junkies where they're so much dependent on following where these prophets may be speaking at the next church so they can try to get a word from them or sow a seed to try to get a word and all. And it's unfortunate that a lot of these pastors are in cahoots with these false prophets because, trust me, they split the offering with these false prophets. They come in, they're able to get all this money out from the church members, and in the back office, they're splitting these offerings together. So the pastor is more or less accomplice with these spiritual crimes that take place. So we have to hold accountable not just these false prophets, but these quote unquote false shepherds who let these people in and minister to the people, or quote unquote minister to these people and take full advantage of them. So when we have to look at false prophets, what are they motivated by? They're motivated primarily by money. They prophesy, number one, for profit. They bear bad fruit. They twist scriptures to manipulate others. And pride is one of the main things that really fuels them and energizes them is pride, which we know pride is from Lucifer himself. Also, two false prophets seek to please God in return for blessings and success. False prophets are led by their own desire to be worshiped. So they take worship away from God and draw it unto themselves, and they desire to be put on a pedestal and to be worshiped. So when we go over to Matthew chapter 7, verse 15 through 19, it tells you about fruit. We should know them by their fruit. Jesus states this. He says, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from the thorn bushes or the figs from the thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but bad bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down, thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruit, you will know them." So Jesus is stating this, you won't know them by their signs and wonders that they manifest. You'll know them by the actual fruit of their life. Are they living holy? Are they living righteous? Are they walking humbly before the Lord? Are they walking in pride and arrogance and other things that's contrary to the fruit of the Spirit? You see a combination should balance each out, not just the spiritual gift, but also the fruit of the Spirit. You see the fruit of the Spirit and spiritual gifts walking hand in hand. If they're not manifesting the fruit of the Spirit, then it's not good fruit. So you have to, saints of the Most High, you have to really, especially in these last and evil days, be walking in discernment. You also have to be grounded in scripture to rightfully divide the word of God, but be able to judge a man or woman that is in ministry by their fruit, not by their gifts, not by so-and-so signs and wonders. False prophets, they speak false visions. They don't speak, number one, for Yahweh. They despise the Lord. They deceive people. They give false comfort. They don't let people know about repentance or repenting from sin. And they speak lies and vanity. So they're not a true prophet. When the Lord raised up true prophets in the land of Israel, it wasn't to prophesy chariots or castles or material things and gold and several other things and all. It was usually he would raise prophetic voices or men to prophesy, to bring the children of Israel back to the covenant, back to the word, back to the Torah. And then he would have these prophets tell them, if you repent, then blessings will come upon you. If you don't repent, judgment's going to come. You're going to go into captivity. XYZ is going to happen. We live in nowadays where people celebrate these quote unquote prophets and false prophetess when they come into the church because they eagerly await to give away their money because they believe that they're going to give them a positive prophecy about them gaining material things, becoming a millionaire or getting a big house or buying a Mercedes-Benz or a BMW, or if they have certain things, pride in their heart, where they're desiring to have a position in ministry that they're going to prophesy, that they're going to be this great apostle or this prophet or prophetess. They use those things to manipulate and to gain people's trust and to build a following. They're not speaking the word of the Lord. They're not speaking by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. They're speaking lies and vanities. When we go over to Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 16 through 17, it clearly explains how Israel's deceived by comfort doctrines or false comfort. It says, say they speak a vision of their own heart, not from the mouth of the Lord. They continually say to those who despise me, the Lord has said, you shall have peace, and to everyone who walks according to and dictates of his own heart, they say, no evil shall come upon you. So we can kind of see this going on in today's times where people, these false prophets, they give false comfort to folks in church. Folks are walking in outright disobedience and sin, but because they give a seed offering and it's a certain amount of money, then you have like these people give these prophecies and people are like, ooh, they gave me this. They said, I'm going to do this. I'm going to be this and that. And they're giving false comfort. They're not speaking the word of the Lord. They're speaking out of their own heart. They're speaking vanities. They're speaking lies. All right. So when we go to Matthew chapter 7, verse 21 through 23, it says, not everyone who saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have we cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. So there are going to be people who you see that are on these platforms that speak at these prophetic conferences and speak at these convocations and these conventions and prophetic revivals, and that's going around saying that they're prophesying and they're doing all this stuff in the name of the Lord. They don't represent Jesus. They never had a relationship with Yeshua or Jesus. They never really knew him. They were doing all the things in his name. They weren't properly representing the kingdom of God. They didn't have the heart of the Father. They weren't doing the will of God. They were doing it for their own selfish means, and they were walking in vanity and lies. And the end result, when they have to stand before the King of Kings, he's going to reject them. He's going to say, I never knew you. He's going to tell them, depart from me. Ye worked iniquity. You didn't work righteousness. You worked iniquity. You worked contrary to my word. You worked contrary to my kingdom. You worked within your own kingdom. When you work in your own kingdom, you ally yourself with the kingdom of darkness. You ally yourself with the satanic kingdom. So you use or misuse spiritual gifts and other things to manipulate people, to actually benefit yourself instead of making your gift available to benefit the kingdom of God. All right. So we look at the Old Testament scripture, which it gives you details about looking at what a true or what a false prophet actually is. When we look at Deuteronomy chapter 18, verses 20 through 22, it says, but the prophet which shall presume to speak a word in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, or that shall speak in the name of other gods, even that prophet shall die. And if thou shalt say in thy heart, how shall we know the word which the Lord hath not spoken? When a prophet speaketh in the same name of the Lord, and if a thing follow not, nor come to pass, that is the thing which the Lord hath not spoken, but the prophet has spoken, and presumptuously thou shalt not be afraid of him. So key word that we want to look at is, but a prophet, verse 22, but the prophet hath spoken presumptuously, thou shalt not be afraid of him. So let's take a look at that word presume or presumptuous. When we look at the actual Hebrew word for presumptuous, it is the Hebrew word called zod. So zod is to seethe or figuratively insolent, proud, to deal proudly, to presume presumptuously. It also means zod, which is the Hebrew word for presumptuous or presumptuously, is to boil up, to seethe, act proudly, to act presumptuously, to act rebelliously, to be arrogant, to be rebelliously proud. So we see when Moses is writing the Torah, and this passage that is talking about, when you're looking at the characteristics of a false prophet, it talks about if something doesn't come to pass, then it's a false prophet. But also with the key word that we're looking at, presumptuously, it mentions certain things. The meaning of that word is rebelliously, is arrogant, is rebelliously proud, insolent, all these key things that are connected to Satan, which he is the father of lies, and he's also the father, he's the king of the proud ones, which he's the king over the children of pride, which that states in Job chapter 41, verse 34. So when you're walking in pride, you're king that's over you is the spirit of Leviathan, which is Satan himself, which Leviathan is a figure of Satan. All right. So when we look at rebellion, is as the sin of witchcraft. Very familiar passage of scripture. We all know this in 1 Samuel chapter 15, where the word of the Lord, Samuel told Saul to go and destroy everything, the Amalekites, destroy everything. This goes all the way back when the children of Israel were coming out from Egyptian bondage and they're on their way to the promised land, and the Amalekites attacked them, and God told Moses to make a memorial that he was against the Amalekites, and then one day he would destroy the Amalekites. So we know the story where Saul partially kept the word. He kept the best sheep. He ended up keeping the king of the Amalekites, King Agag, and he rebelled against the word of the Lord. So here's Samuel. He comes, and this is what he says to King Saul. He says, verse 22 and 23, 1 Samuel chapter 15, he says, "And Samuel said, hath the Lord as a great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifice, as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, to hearken then the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king." So key point, when we look at verse 22, obedience is better than sacrifice. So you can have somebody, you can have these false prophets who come into these convocations and come into these conventions and come into these prophetic conferences, and somebody gives a seed offering and they speak a word over them. God is not going to override his word. He's not going to bless somebody that's walking in continuous disobedience, that's walking contrary to his word. He's not going to bless them. That is when a false prophet is doing much more damage because they're leading that person into self-deception, thinking that they're all right with God because they gave a certain amount of money in the seed offering, and then they give them a per se a word from a quote unquote word from the Lord. But when we look at verse 23, it says rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. When we look at the Hebrew word in this scripture for witchcraft, it is kashim, which means kashim in Hebrew. The word means divination. It means including divination for a fee or for money, an oracle, a reward of divination, or a divine sentence of witchcraft. So we see how presumptuously means rebellious, which we connect. Rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft, which the Hebrew word kashim means divination for a fee or oracle of reward. So when people are quote unquote operating in the prophetic and they're moving in a prophetic and primarily it's done for money, you begin to more or less move out of the kingdom of God, and you're moving more or less into the kingdom of darkness. You enter that realm where you're walking more or less in clairvoyance and divination. You're not walking in the Holy Spirit, because number one, key point that you always want to say, the Holy Spirit will lead, number one, will lead and guide us into all truth. Number two, the Holy Spirit, if you're moving in the Holy Spirit, you're walking in the Holy Spirit, you're going to see the fruit of the Spirit, all right? So when we look at Jeremiah chapter 14, verse 14, it says, then the Lord said unto me, the prophets prophesy lies in my name. I sent them not, neither have I commanded them, neither I spake unto them. They prophesy unto you false vision and divination and a thing of naught and deceit of their heart. So primarily, a couple of things I want to point out in the scripture. When you have these false prophets and false prophetess that are prophesying for money, they're prophesying lies in the name of the Lord, which he commanded them not. They speak false visions. And he says a very ironic, this is the inspiration of the Holy Spirit that's having Jeremiah speak the word of the Lord. They're operating in divination and deceit of their own heart. So let's see the difference between prophecy and divination. The meaning of divination. Divination is a demonic counterfeit, the ability that the devil uses in order to foretell the future. It is the ability to access hidden knowledge or secrets pertaining to a person or people or event through demonic sources such as familiar spirits. The Greek word of divination comes from the root word python. The spirit of python counterfeits the spirit of prophecy. Divination is a form of witchcraft that possesses psychics, witch doctors, false prophets, spiritual advisors, medicine men, New Age gurus, voodoo priests and priestesses, mediums. We're told in Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 14, that we are not permitted to practice divination or sorcery or any witchcraft, for it is an abomination to God. The act of divining or foretelling the future events or discovering things in secret or obscured by the aid of a superior beings or by other than human means. Therefore, when Jesus said that false prophets will perform signs and wonders, he did not lie, because false prophets use divination in order to foretell future events. We move on. Now let's look at five characteristics of divination and diviners. Number one, diviners are false prophets or fortune tellers, walk with and receive their information from familiar spirits and other demonic entities. They're foretelling the future. Indeed, at times it does come true. However, the sources of information is from the demonic realm, and ultimately the information that they speak actually is subtle and deters from you and God. What they foretell does not glorify God in any particular way. Rather, it subtly brings more focus and more praise and more glory on the diviner or the false prophet instead of God. So key thing, it brings more emphasis and more glory on the false prophet instead of God. Number two, diviners and false prophets and fortune tellers ultimately perform signs and wonders and preach in order for you to give them money. They exploit people, they manipulate them for money. Their messages mostly focus on materialism, money, self-glory, rather than on the character and relationship with God, on anything that is Christ-centered. They are part of the devil's plan to subtly, systematically lead people away from God through deception and false doctrine, which we can find in 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 through 22. Third thing, they teach that you will receive salvation and deliverance from your problems when you give money to them or their institution. However, salvation and deliverance does not come because you give money. True salvation and deliverance is free, and it comes from the Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us. Deliverance and salvation from challenges and problems cannot be paid. Deliverance and salvation only comes from God through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. The gift of God cannot be purchased with money. A sorcerer by the name of Simon thought he could acquire God's gift by giving money or paying for them. We can find that in Acts chapter 8, verses 9 through 23. Fourth thing, the false prophet is never questioned or tested by his followers. The voice of the false prophet is compared without question by his followers as being the voice of God. Scripture reference, 1 John 4 and 1 says, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world." 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 21 instructs us to test all things and to hold fast what is good. God has given us permission to test the supernatural because Satan is a supernatural being also. And in the future, don't reject all prophecy, but test all prophecies. However, a false prophet will manipulate followers not to question his prophecies, not to question him, because he's the only one that's anointed, and he's or she or is the man, or he is the man of God, or she is the woman of God. Believers should know, however, that the reason why God allows us through his word to test the spirit is to test everything, is because the false prophets who were out to deceive people. Therefore, it is important for believers to know the word of God, to uphold his word in every situation above the personal word of others. Last and final thing, number five, diviners and false prophets and fortune tellers will mostly create an attitude of dependency within their followers. The followers begin to depend more upon them because the followers will have an insatiable need to see more of their signs and wonders and to hear more of their foretelling of future events. The dependency on the false prophet automatically removes dependency on God. So Jesus said when he was sent a comforter, that the Holy Spirit will lead and guide us, not some truth, but all truth. All right. So when we look at a perfect example of a person that moves in the spirit of divination, we see this power encounter of the Apostle Paul and the woman that had the spirit of divination, which we can see Acts 16, verse 16 through 18. It says, and it came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with the spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High, which show us the way of salvation. And this did she many days. But Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out the same hour. So here's this woman. What she was saying was true. She said about Paul, she said that Paul is there to show the way of salvation. She did this many days, but Paul walking in, being full of the Holy Spirit and walking in the Spirit, knew that this spirit was contrary to the Holy Spirit. He cast that spirit of Python out of this woman. And it says that she brought her masters much gain. These days, a lot of these modern day pastors, they wouldn't be able to discern if it's the spirit of divination, or they would promote this woman as a true prophetess because what she's saying, she's, as they say, quote unquote, she's really reading their mail and she's really moving in the gifts and she's really highly powered and anointed, and she's doing all these great things and a blessing to the saints. They would be putting this woman on so many platforms of speaking at prophetic conferences and speaking at these convocations and speaking at these conventions and flying her in. One of the things also too that these people, these pastors do when they hold these revivals or they're holding these convocations and these conferences, if they don't have these prophets or prophetess come and speak, what they do is they have them have a special place in the service to raise offerings. So when it's time for offering time, they'll call up the prophet or prophetess to raise the offering, because they know if you give a certain amount of seed, if you give $100, God's going to bless you with this. And they start putting out numbers. Okay, the Lord said that there's 100 people out there that have $100 to sow a seed into the kingdom. And if you sow into this word, you're going to get XYZ. They will be using this woman in this same method, the same way. But Paul saw through all the spiritual stuff to see he wasn't taking. Paul wasn't walking in pride and other things, because he said, yeah, I am. You know, I am a servant of the Most High. What she's saying is true. It says that he was grieved because this stuff went on for many days. He was so grieved that he commanded in the name of Jesus for that spirit of divination that was operating woman to come out. And the minute that demon was cast out, that woman lost her ability to soothsay. All right. So we know, like in the last days, that demonic activity, which we can see that's in the earth, is going to increase even more. And deception within the church is going to increase even more, because when you're walking in lukewarmness and not really walking in the Spirit and the fullness of the Spirit, you have the inability to see what is actually going on. So people, the Python spirit is actually, I know Jensen Franklin preached a sermon, Spirit of Python, it wrapping around you. The actual Python, when you look at Middle Eastern or that part of the world, it wasn't a quote unquote Python that we look at. It was a dragon. So the book of Revelation talks about how the false prophet shall speak as a dragon, okay? In different Middle Eastern or Eastern cultures, a dragon was seen as, even in China, as animal or figuratively a thing or symbolic a thing. A dragon had wisdom and other stuff. So it's devilish wisdom that James talks about comes from above. So when these false prophets are operating in divination and other things and all, they're operating in devilish wisdom. They're moving. When the Holy Spirit is in operation, we look at the heavens. So first heaven, second heaven, third heaven is where the abode of God is. Second heaven is where principalities and other things dwell. So this stuff is coming down from that region. So when we move on, and we have to take a look at what the early church had to say about false prophets. It says, concerning the apostles and prophets, act according to the decree of the gospel. If he asks for money, he is a false prophet. And every prophet who teaches the truth but does not do what he teaches is a false prophet. But whoever says in the spirit, give me money or something else, you should not listen to him. But if he tells you to give for others' sake who are in need, let no one judge you. That's found in the 11th chapter of the Didache. All right. So key things it states in the Didache chapter 11. It says, but whosoever says in the spirit, give me money or something else, don't listen to him. But if he's asking for you to give for others that are in need, then don't judge him. So it's an unselfish thing that you're trying to do it for others. You're not trying to do it for your own selfish means or own selfish gain. All right. So let's move on. Let's look at another. So this is another good writings from early Christians' writings. It says, hear now, said he, concerning the earthly and vain spirit, which has no power, but is foolish. In the first place, that the man who seems to have the spirit exalt himself and desires to have a chief place, and straightway he is impudent and shameless and talkative. Very interesting. So he's looking to be first. He has a spirit that exalts himself. He looks for a chief place straightway. He's very talkative and shameless. Let's read on. And conversant and many luxuries and many other deceits, and receives money for his prophesying. If he receives not, he prophesies not. Now can a divine spirit receive money and prophesy? It is not possible for a prophet of God to do this, but the spirit of such prophets is earthly. In the next place, it never approaches an assembly of righteous men, but avoids them and cleaves to doubtful-minded, empty prophecies to them in corners, and deceives them, speaking all things in emptiness to gratify their desires. For they too are empty, who it answers, for empty vessels placed together with empty is not broken, but they agree with one and another. But when he comes to assembly full of righteous men who have a spirit of deity and intercession is made from them, the man is empty, and the earthly spirit flees from them with fear, and that the man is struck dumb and altogether broken in pieces, being unable to utter a word. Thus also empty prophets, whenever they come into the spirit of righteous men, are found just such as they came, and have given you the life of both kinds of prophets. Therefore, test by his life and his works, a man who says that he is moved by the Spirit. This is found in Hermes, the Anti-Nicene Fathers, Volume 2, page 27, all right? So, got one more thing from early church writings. A spiritual man who shall judge false prophets, who without having received the gift of prophecy and not possess the fear of God, received the gift of prophecy, is not possessed of fear of God, but either for the sake of vainglory or with the view of some personal advantage, or acting in some of the other ways with the influence of a wicked spirit, pretend to utter prophecies while all the time they lie against God. This is found in Irenaeus, the Antifathers, volume 1, page 508. So let's look at 2 Peter chapter 1, and we're going to look at verse 1 through 3. And it says, but there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that brought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And through covenant shall they with fiend words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and damnation slumbereth not. So when we look at this portion of scripture, anytime a false prophet is going to have false teaching, they're going to have heretical, the two walking hand in hand. They're going to be off, number one, and perverse in their prophecies. They're going to be off and perverse in their teachings. All right, they're going to use their words to make merchandise of the people, so they're in it for personal gain. So a couple of things stick out again to reiterate, and this, that they, false prophets, going to prophesy falsely. They may have a few things that come past, but the prophecy is going to be off. The doctrine is going to be off. They're gonna teach heretical doctrines and doctrines of devils when they are teaching. All right. Key thing I want to bring up. This is from the IVP Bible Background Commentary of 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 3, which walks in line than what we are discussing, that false prophets prophesy for lies. It states this for a second, the commentary for 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 3. It says, traveling diviners, false prophets, and moral teachers typically charge fees or begged funds, and were thus frequently accused of having monetary motives unworthy of their professed callings. False teachers in church were likewise exploiting Christians. So when the commentary on 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 3, this is what Peter's talking about. He's talking about false prophets and false teachers who come in. They're wolves disguised as sheep, and they are primarily motivated by money to make merchandise of the people, and they teach heretical doctrines, and they are false teachers and they are false prophets. So false prophets, they are like wolves and lions. When we go over and we look at 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is as a roaring lion walking about seeking whom he may devour. So the devil, he is as a roaring lion seeking whom he may be, that he may devour. So we see in quite a bit of charismatic, I won't say all, but in charismatic and Pentecostal churches where people, quote unquote, are slaying in the spirit and speaking in tongues and acting like they have no control. But it says to be sober, to be vigilant, which most aren't. They're not being vigilant. So they're susceptible to these false prophets coming in and doing these lying signs and wonders, getting people all hyped up and in an emotional frenzy where they're not being sober, where they're not being vigilant, where they seduce them with their false prophecies and false doctrine, and they get them acting contrary to what the scripture, being sober, or walking in the fruit of the spirit, which is temperance, having self-control, not being all out of control, running around, spitting and dancing and acting like you're intoxicated by some type of drug or alcohol, but like really testing the spirit, really listening to the word. Key scripture that I want to connect to false prophets being like roaring lions or wolves. The Holy Spirit really opened up my eyes several years to the scripture. And it's found in Ezekiel chapter 22, verse 25 through 28. And it reads, there is a conspiracy of her prophets in the midst thereof. Like a roaring lion ravening the prey, they have devoured souls. They have taken the treasure and the precious things. They have made her many widows in the midst thereof. Her priests have violated my law and have profaned my holy things and have put no difference between holy and profane. Neither have they showed difference between unclean and clean, and have hid their eyes from my Sabbaths and are profaned among them. Her princes in the midst thereof are like wolves, ravening the prey, to shed blood, to destroy souls, to get dishonest gain. And her prophets have dubbed them with untempered martyr, seeing vanity, divining lies unto them, saying, thus saith the Lord, when the Lord have not spoken. So verse 25, it says, a conspiracy of the prophets in the midst thereof. They're like roaring lions, ravening prey. They devour souls. So when you have a false prophet, primarily a true prophet is going to show you the difference between holiness and profane, and they're not going to be speaking for gain. A false prophet is going to be speaking for dishonest gain, and they destroy souls. I've seen it happen so many times where false prophets come into church to give people these quote unquote certain false prophecies and other things and all, and things don't come to pass, and eventually it ends up destroying souls because people begin to lose confidence in the church and the word because it's a misrepresentation of when the pastor allows these false prophets and prophetess to come in and to have their way within the ministry. And all it really does damage to the local congregation. But as we can see, these false prophets, they walk around just as their father, Satan, or the devil, as roaring lions. And they don't speak as a lamb. They speak as their father, the devil. They speak as a dragon. All right. the father of the false prophets is Satan himself. Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 26 says, how long shall this be in the heart of the prophets that prophesy lies? Yea, they are prophets of deceit of their own heart. When we look at John chapter 8, verse 44, it says, ye are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he is speaking his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Another issue with false prophets that really gives them quite a bit of power is the greed of the pastors give false prophets inroads into the church. Isaiah chapter 56, verse 8 through 11 says, and the Lord God, which gathered the outcasts of Israel, saith, yet will I gather others to him besides those that gather unto him. All ye beasts of the field come to devour, yea, all the beasts in the forest. His watchmen are blind, they are ignorant, they are all dumb dogs, they cannot bark, sleeping, laying down, loving to slumber, yea, they are greedy dogs, which can never have enough, they are shepherds that cannot understand, they are all look to their own way, every one of his gain from his quarters. So this is primarily speaking about quote unquote false shepherds. They are watchmen who are blind, they're deaf and they're dumb and they're blind when they allow these false prophets to come in. They're ignorant, they're just like dumb dogs. They can't bark, they can't speak out against these people, these false prophets. They're spiritually asleep and they love slumber. But this is one of the things that motivate them also too, these pastors that let these false prophets and prophetess have inroads to the church. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 10 says, for the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through many sorrows. The very last thing, the condition of people who love the false prophets, Isaiah chapter 30, verse 9 through 10 states that this is a rebellious people, lying children, children that will not hear the law of the Lord, which say to the seers, see not, and to the prophets, prophesy not unto us right things, speak unto us smooth things, prophesy deceits. Don't talk about repentance. Don't talk about prayer. Don't talk about mortifying or crucifying the flesh. Don't talk about walking in the spirit. You prophesy smooth things, prophesy blessings, prophesy cars, material things, money, power. You prophesy smooth things. Don't give us the truth. Don't give us the actual word, all right? So when we move over to the New Testament, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3 through 4 says this, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts, shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they should turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fable. So what we see, especially in America, modern day church, what has taken place is exactly this. You have seeker friendly churches and other things and all where people are comfortable, where you have people that are walking in outright in rebellion, and they don't want to hear the word of the Lord. They don't want to hear the truth. They want these prophets to not tell them to repent and get yourselves right. They want them to speak smooth things and prophesy deceits and speak lies. It's all being fueled. And then no wonder when the world sees the church and they see all the hypocrisy and the things that go on, they don't want to come and get saved and repent, because they see how hypocritical and how the lack of holiness, that they have no desire to come and be saved. So in these last days, we have to really be sure that we're like the Bereans, that we're studying, and when we hear something preached or something prophesied, that we judge it and judge it by the word, and that we're not so quick and swift to just run with it. Oh, they read my mail, I'm going to go ahead and I believe it. We have to take that thing in prayer. We have to make sure that thing lines up with the word of God. We have to really be walking in discernment, because Jesus warned us at least four times in Matthew chapter 24 about deception. And deception is really highly on the rise. And what's really going to give the rise of the Antichrist, when we look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, is when people reject the truth. Church folks, Christians, reject, utterly start walking in apostasy and reject the truth. They're going to be given over to a strong delusion, which is going to arise the son of perdition, which is going to lead many down a road of destruction. So if you can't really discern these quote unquote people that are false prophets and false prophetess right now, you're not going to be able to see through the political figure, which would be the first beast, which is the son of perdition. And then you're definitely not going to be able to see through the second beast, which is the false prophet, because they're going to put on such a show of lying signs and wonders that people are going to be really deceived. So we're definitely walking or living in the last days, and we have to be vigilant. We have to be really grounded in the word of God, and we have to be having a spirit to hear, give an ear to hear what the spirit is saying and what it's expressing, and not giving over to a bunch of lying signs and wonders, and always test the spirit, know the scriptures for yourselves. Don't take any man's word for it. Learn how to seek and study the word for yourself to make sure that stuff lines up, line up on line, precept on precept. Don't let people take things out of context. And you definitely have to be walking full of the Holy Spirit. This is the End Time Prophecy Watch broadcast. God bless you guys. Hopefully you receive something from false prophets prophesy lies for money. God bless. This is the End Time Shofar.